Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I know it was Father's Day, but last night I waited till after six. You know, I was like, okay, time to get ready for Monday's radio show. I better go do a compilation of all the crazy on display for all these radical far left protests on Saturday in Montana. Yeah, why didn't they want to get together and celebrate 250 years of service and sacrifice by our United States Army? Instead, they wanted to spend the day protesting the democratically elected president of the United States of America. My favorite sign, so I put together this kind of montage of coverage. Big thanks to Roy McKenzie with Western Montana News, westernmt.news, for letting us share some of his photos and his coverage. But I put together this collection of crazy following the left-wing protests in Montana on Saturday. I think my favorite photograph, though, aside from all the absurdity of the defund ICE, F ICE folks that were at these Democrat front group rallies, my favorite photo was in a report that Tracy put together out of Billings. And there was a woman holding a sign that said, "Hands off the free press." And what she's obviously protesting is, you know, NPR and PBS, they get millions and millions of dollars from you, taken by force. You are forced to give them your money. They reach you're not forced to listen to this radio station right now. You're not forced to advertise. These guys, PBS and NPR, get millions and millions of dollars in your taxpayer funds. And then what do? They spew out pro-big government left-wing propaganda. And so the rescissions package, this kind of got buried in the news last week, the rescission package, which now peels back nearly $10 billion of this massive federal government overspending, it includes cutting back on the taxpayer funds to prop up these left-wing media outlets like PBS and NPR. And so she's obviously protesting that, hands off the free press. But here's the point. If you truly want a free press where the government doesn't have its hands on the free press, you're actually making our point for us. You're actually out there justifying this rescissions package that, by the way, just passed the House of Representatives through a democratic process and was supported by a president who was democratically elected. But you want the federal government to reach into our pockets so they can have their hands on a couple of press outlets. But yet you then step out in the streets and say, hands off the free press. If you truly think we should have our hands off of the free press, then get your hand out of our pocket and stop giving our money from the government to go to these propaganda big government media outlets. It's just kind of common sense to the rest of us. Oh, yeah, by the way, we're about $37 trillion in debt, too.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, first they started with mostly peaceful. And now they're dropping the mostly. The media just tries to insist that these riots are peaceful. This was from Fox News over the weekend. Not only did you see some of these far left, protests over the weekend turn violent. You had law enforcement officers injured back on the West Coast. But they've already been trying to prop up the riots already in progress, the anti-ICE riots in defense of the criminal illegal aliens. Here you go. This is how many times these far left media outlets tried to insist that these are peaceful riots. By the way, phone lines are open for you. If you got something you want to talk about, 406-294-0970.
Police in Seattle were forced to use tear gas to protect themselves while rioters in Portland broke into an ICE facility. Multiple police officers were reportedly injured there. Now we're starting to learn more about the people involved in these riots, like this gentleman, illegal alien Emiliano Garduna Garcia. He was arrested for throwing a Molotov cocktail at an ICE officer in L.A. These riots are all in support of the illegal migrants nabbed by ICE, whose crimes span from human smuggling to lewd acts with a child. And the left still insists that these protests are peaceful. You know, Dr. Siegel...
The protests have been largely peaceful.
All right. Oh, here it goes.
Actually, it does exist, has been provoked by the presence of officers on the streets. That was completely unnecessary.
To say the city is burning is an insult. It's all a farce.
I flew over each one of them, and they were overwhelmingly peaceful.
All right, 211 times, though. That's how many times, just as of, what, Saturday or Sunday when that report aired, that these liberal media outlets tried to claim that these are peaceful, peaceful, peaceful riots. They had to tell you that. It's just crazy. But back to this whole so-called No Kings protest that took place even across Montana over the weekend. State Senator Jeremy Treves out of Great Falls summed it up well, just the hypocrisy of these people at this No Kings rally. He said this: the No Kings people were fine with governors single-handedly closing businesses without any precedence in law. And then I added, of course, you've got judges acting like kings. You've got federal bureaucrats that have acted like kings. They have no problem with a tyrannical government. Remember, the American Revolution, 249 years ago, nearly 250 years ago, wasn't just about making sure that America was not governed by a king. It was about making sure that America was not governed by a tyrannical government. And that's exactly what these people were rallying for during the COVID-19 era and even long before that. They want unelected bureaucrats in the government dictating your day-to-day life and willy-nilly shutting down your timber business, your oil, gas, or your coal business, your small business, unnecessary regulations. These are the same people that were yelling at you in 2020 and even into 2021, because they wanted to be the king over your life and they wanted to tell you that you had to wear a mask if you were in the same grocery store as they were. And them claiming that they don't want kings in America when they justify the tyrannical government that we saw over the last 4 years of the Joe Biden regime, it's no different than when Tampon Tim Walz, the governor of Minnesota, became the running mate with Kamala Harris. He called J.D. Vance and Republicans weird when he was the weirdo putting tampons in the little boys' room of elementary schools. They say they don't want kings while they want a tyrannical government and while they want to stop the democratically elected president from reigning in a tyrannical government. Just like Tampon Tim called his political opponents weird when he was the one putting tampons in little boys' rooms. Matt in Billings on the phone lines. Matt, what's going on?
Good morning. Yeah, me and my wife, my daughter went down and looked at the freaks this weekend. And what it looked like to me was a reunion of the Hills Has Eyes. I mean, these people are just crazy. And like you think about the mental health of the Americans, like go down there and like watch the video footage of these people. These people are lunatics. Not only are they just yelling and screaming, just terribly upset, but the profanity that they use, I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, and I get it. Like, even you know, our like-minded folks would drop F-bombs and would have some of the, you know, F Joe Biden on their pickups, too. But it seems like that is almost the entirety of these folks on the left. I mean, it's kind of the exception to the rule at Trump rallies, you know, the F-bombs and things like that. For these guys, it's like the main feature.
Yeah, and I know it sounds like kind of funny and like mocking it, but when I drove by there, I just thought to myself, like, yes, we do have a mental health crisis in America. That's what I thought to myself.
Well, and man, there were some just hilarious responses too, as people were seeing the photographs from this. I was looking at, you know, responses on my Facebook page. I was looking at the Cat Country Facebook page. And let's see, Jeff Sloan said this: sheep being told what sheep should do by the wolves. And then Susan Schmang said, Medicaid was not taken away. It was taken away from illegal aliens. But all these false claims that were trotted out there by these protesters. But yeah, some of it was just so laughable. It just makes them look worse.
And like, here's the thing, like when they use vulgar signs and like that kind of tack, because I had a Trump flag on my vehicle, and like, you know, they're flipping us off and all this stuff, like that only promotes me to think that I'm on the right side because I'm not acting like that.
Yeah. Yeah, like when I drove past the car that had the F Trump, F ICE in the back window, I was like, all right, whatever, and just kept driving. All right, Matt, great to hear from you.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, this was funny. Yeah, John Jackson, the Joker from X, he shared the SpongeBob SquarePants meme. All hail Plankton. All hail Plankton. So that was in response to a video by the Bozeman Daily Chronicle's Lawrence Bush showing the protest in Bozeman and the drumming and the chanting and, you know, just the cult-like feel that the the chant in Bozeman, the vibe that puts off here. I shared it on X about 12 hours ago. The people that wanted to force you to drink the Kool-Aid during COVID-19, chanting in downtown Bozeman. Here you go. You can hear it for yourself. And they got, by the way, they have like these plastic drums that they're using, like turned over buckets. Oh my goodness. Yeah, talk about some Kool-Aid drinkers there. Next up on the phone lines, let's go to Ken in Great Falls. Ken, did you make it out to the protest in Great Falls? Good to hear from you.
Well, I was in Missoula yesterday, so I went to that one for a little while, and it's great. What, 5 million people all over the country, the biggest protest we've ever had? That's pretty good. But the point about it is, you keep talking about COVID. This country has always had quarantine when we've had epidemics. That's the law. Those are all county laws. We've always done that. This wasn't anything made up. 1 million people died in this country. 3,000 died in this state. Two of my good friends died in the state of COVID because people wouldn't take the quarantine to heart. They wouldn't get vaccinated. People that listen to you.
The vaccine. You Ken, are you still getting boosters?
This is science.
Are you still getting boosters?
Science.
Well, tell me about your science. Are you still getting boosters? Because, man, a lot of those people who are trying to force people to get that jab didn't get their boosters. Why aren't they getting their boosters if it was such a great thing?
Because they're stupid.
Okay.
That's
why. So, but again here, you were at a rally for No Kings. You went to a rally for No Kings, but yet you wanted to be tyrannical against your neighbors and force them to get a jab that could have cost them their lives, that could have cost a heart condition. So, like, if you're going to say you don't want kings, why do you want to force people to take a jab or force people to wear a mask?
You're lying to people. That's not what the science said. The science said the vaccine did a lot better. We could have lost 2 million people if we hadn't got the vaccine. If we hadn't kept away from other people. We could have lost 2 million.
The mask mandates made it worse. You had lockdowns and mandates that were much more strict on the Blackfeet Reservation. And then you had the Flathead that did not have the mandates and the lockdowns. And the Flathead was pushing back on it. And their death statistics were better. They had better numbers. I mean, the whole COVID-19 thing, the whole scam that was thrust on this country, Fauci lied, people died. And everybody knows it. But most Democrats aren't even trying to argue that one. I mean, even some Democrat candidates who fully embraced that tyranny a few years ago are now saying, yeah, well, we got it wrong, but we thought we were doing the right thing. Either way, Ken, good to hear from you. Appreciate it. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. Hey, next up, we got a phone call. What was it, on Friday or Thursday? I think it was last Thursday. We got a phone call from Art Wittick, former Gallatin County lawmaker, Republican legislator. He is running one of four candidates that we know of that's running for chairman of the Montana Republican Party. And, hey, I said it last week. I said, hey, by the way, you know, open opportunity for any of the candidates for chairman of the Montana GOP to join us on the show. And now we've got Tanner Smith joining us on the phone lines. Tanner, thanks for calling in.
Well, thanks for having me, Aaron. Going from Ken, who kind of represents the left, to Tanner Smith, which represents the right, we all need to kind of take a collective deep breath right now. did everybody have a good Father's Day yesterday?
Had a great one. Yeah, how about you?
I did too, yeah. The secret sausage is tell your kids that you love them every day, and then they turn out pretty darn good. So, yes, I am running for chair. It's unsustainable, our Republican Party, the way things are going, with property taxes going up, government obviously ballooning out of control, water rights under attack, just all along the line. These are not Republican policies that we're seeing on the backside. We're supposed to be a red state, but on paper we're red, but in reality our policies are anything but. So having Don Kaye non-endorse me, that speaks volumes, because the Uniparty, they're putting up their selected candidates, and I'm proud to represent the conservative movements and start righting the ship here in Montana with the Republican Party.
So the four names that we've heard, of course, yours, there's Stacey Zinn, who was the head of the DEA and very solid conservative. Art Wittick was one of the most conservative legislators in the state legislature. In fact, he had a target on his back all the time for being so conservative. And then Troy Miller, doing a great job with Gallatin County. So in your view, are those folks not conservative enough?
Well, they're all very nice people, but, you know, Stacey Zinn hasn't been in politics. It'll take her a year or two to get spun up to speed on who the bad actors are, the Solution Caucus members. You know, Troy's a great fundraiser, but, you know, Don Kaye raised $32 million, and look at what it got us. You know, the folks out there are hurting. All the donor class, they're getting their money's worth, but that $32 million didn't go to conservative causes. Our taxes are going up, and I can go down the litany of all the issues that we're seeing in Montana. So money's not the issue. And Art Wittick, he's a very nice person, but he was national committee man for 8 years, and nothing ever changed. You know, he's an attorney. So I represent the working class. I'm a mega guy. You know, Trump is my guy, and I just don't feel that an attorney, it's been my experience that attorneys don't fix things. Attorneys just write letters, and I'm all about action, not writing letters. So they're all very nice people, and they'll have a role to play. They're all a sprocket on this Republican wheel. But I just think we need this time in our history, we need a leader, not a cheerleader, for what's coming out of Helena. I will lead the party with directive.
You mentioned Stacey Zinn being fairly new to Montana politics, but you're fairly new to Montana politics as well. I think you did, what, one term, maybe two, in the state legislature. How can people trust that you are the actual conservative to lead the state party?
Well, having served, I actually announced I was running for governor 2 weeks into that first session that I served, because I saw the lobbyists, you know, doing their deals. I saw the Solutions Caucus trading votes and buying left with the Democrats. And those are all unacceptable things, because I, you know, I was born and raised in Stevensville. I'm a Ronald Reagan Republican, and it's hard to ever combat. It's hard to go to war and have a victory when the people on your team are over in the other team's locker room before the game. And that's what's happening in Montana with the Solutions Caucus. So I think everybody that runs for chair needs to at least serve one term in the legislature, just so you know the actors, the bad apples. it gives you a great, much greater insight when you show up to committee meetings at 6 in the morning. And you know, it broke my heart to see people drive 4 or 5 hours across the state to testify on a bill that there was no way that bill was going anywhere because Lou Jones and the Solution Caucus folks have bought left in joining the Democrats to kill these good bills. And, yeah. And we can just go down the litany of bad bills. And we're living it today.
Yeah, it was interesting. For those who missed either our chat with Art Wittig last week or my chat with Don Kay, I think the week before, basically Don Kay, the current chairman, the outgoing chairman of the Montana GOP, I mean, you know, in his near 6 years as chairman, I mean, the GOP has now taken over every statewide office. They finally toppled Senator John Tester. And then next year, Senator Steve Daines is up for re-election. He's already got the endorsement of President Trump. He's worked very closely with President Trump. And so Don Kay's concern that he expresses is if the chairman race doesn't go the right direction, the state GOP may not be able to raise any money, and they could start losing everything they've gained.
Well, I look at it this way, and I'll say it again. You know, he raised $32 million. But all the policies on the backside are not Republican. You know, the conservative grassroots like myself, you know, in the Senate, they had a bill. Why don't we return that money? You know, that $3 billion when I was in session, if we return that to the folks with a little note that says compliments of the Republican Party, these are Republican principles, here's your money back, I guarantee those folks will donate to the GOP. Because I don't even donate to the GOP, and I'm the national committee man currently for the state GOP. I don't feel comfortable donating to my own party because I know where the money's getting spent. So there's a lot of places to make money. You know, the 50,000 people that voted for me in the gubernatorial race, I guarantee they will all kick in $1,000 or $2,000 when they feel they have a leader that actually represents them. So better days are ahead. And it's very telling that the uniparty would want to fearmonger with the money raising because that's what they do. They have nothing else. They can't win on the message, so they want to scare everybody by the fearmongering. And that's typical. That's Democrat behavior, and I wouldn't expect anything less from Don Kay and that group.
So I think I read it was like the Daily Montana, one of the liberal news blogs or something. They quoted you kind of attacking Senator Steve Daines. So you could have a position where the head of the state party is attacking the leading Republican candidate, the Trump-endorsed candidate, in next year's election cycle, potentially.
Well, Steve Daines has been rock solid on most stuff, but, you know, he was behind this water compact when he joined the hitch with John Tester to have that bipartisan water compact bill. And we're dealing with that every day here in the Flathead. It was good to have Commissioner Brodell on this morning because we're living the reality of bad policies that are not Republican. So I'll support Steve Daines, but if Steve were to apologize for the water compact, that would go a long way and then work to fix it. You know, Representative Zinke, he's digging his heels in and he's helping us and representing us here in the Northwest. We just need to see a little bit more of that. And I will be one that calls balls and strikes, looking through the Republican, you know, prism, that Republican lens of our platform. So we're going to have the carrot and the stick. If you do a great job, you will get high praise from the GOP.
All right. Well, Tanner Smith, thanks for the call. Yeah, I wanted to make sure all the candidates get the same amount of time. Thanks for calling in here. We'll get to Tom and Bozeman and Carl in Montana City after the break. And then speaking of Congressman Zinke and the water compact, Flathead Lake Levels, we'll have audio on that as well right after this.
This is where Montana talks at with Lane Nordlund.
With immigration enforcement ramping up across the nation, President Trump last week echoed statements he made back in April that an executive order is coming for agriculture and hospitality, two industries that depend heavily on migrant labor.
Our farmers are being hurt badly by, you know, they have very good workers. They've worked for them for 20 years. They're not citizens, but they turned out to be, you know, great. And we have to do something about that. We can't take farmers and take all their people and send them back because they don't have maybe what they're supposed to have, maybe not.
President Trump didn't specify what the new executive order will include or when it might take effect. But his administration acknowledges the pressure on food producers, with nearly half of the nation's 2 million farm workers lacking legal status or a guest worker visa.
And you know what's going to happen and what is happening? They get rid of some of the people because, you know, you go into a farm and you look and people don't, they've been there for 20, 25 years and they've worked great and the owner of the farm loves them and everything else. And then You're supposed to throw them out, and you know what happens? They end up hiring the people, the criminals that have come in, the murderers from prisons and everything else. So we're going to have an order on that pretty soon, I think. We can't do that to our farmers, and leisure too, hotels. We're going to have to use a lot of common sense on that.
Congress has been working on a fix with the Farm Workforce Modernization Act. The bipartisan bill has passed the House twice, but stalled in the Senate each time. It was recently reintroduced. I'm Lane Northland.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
No Kings. I'm at the No Kings protest. Oh, yeah, what about COVID-19 and the jabbing mandates? Oh, shut up and wear your mask. I thought you said No Kings, but governmental tyranny, no problem. No problem. My goodness. By the way, everybody woke up on this Monday morning, and we still do not have a king running the country. So looks like all is well here. Brian Fraser shared this comment on Facebook. Ironically, countries with kings don't allow any protests called No Kings Day. Let's see, Cooper Wade, at Cooper Wade Music, this one on X, I believe. It takes a real idiot to march in a No Kings rally in a country you can only march in because it doesn't have a king. Let's see, Gail Kirby shared this on Facebook. This one actually came from the Cat Country Facebook page. My king, and it's a photo of Jesus on the cross, and then my president. And it's a photo of President Trump shortly after he survived the assassin's bullet. So she says, there's a difference between my king and my president. All right, let's go right back into the phone lines here. Tom in Bozeman, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Hey, Aaron, how are you doing? Just want to respond to that kind of unhinged COVID call. You know, I've got a friend who got all the shots, and he got COVID. The guy who called in is very naive in his comment. Well, the science is behind it. Science in this world is very subjective. You can get a scientist support any position. On global warming, I'll get two PhD scientists with exact opposite opinions. So when these people say, well, the science is behind it. Yeah, the science from political hacks like Fauci and all of the people that recently were canned by Kennedy off the vaccination board. These guys are politicians. They're not scientists. They'll support or they'll say whatever supports their political position. So science in today's age, you take it with a grain of salt because it's become so subjective.
And even the science right now, they're not recommending it to anybody unless they're senior citizens. But there was no reason you should force this upon anybody. I mean, it increased myocarditis, increased health concerns, and I mean, looking at the nation's death statistics, there's a lot of people anyway. But yeah, there's no reason to keep litigating COVID-19 because the entire country understands that the lockdowns were garbage, that the so-called vaccine mandates were garbage, that it all caused more harm. Exactly. They were shoving people like Governor Cuomo, they were shoving people with COVID back into nursing homes and then forcing healthy people to accept the health challenge of taking the jab. It was just so absurd. But now these people want to lecture us about no kings. Jason Loveless, real quick, and then I'll get your reaction to this too, Tom. Jason Loveless shared this on my Facebook story here. He says, the real kings are the ones who shut down your business, made you take a shot to keep your job, censored anyone questioning them, and controlled the media. Yeah, Tom, go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's just the position that these people take that you have to agree with them. Their scientists are the ones that they watch on Rachel Maddow or CNN or these other wacko shows. And again, they'll get a scientist who says whatever they want them to say, then force it upon us. And I'm sorry that people died. I'm sorry this guy's friend died, but
go after China.
Whether or not you take the shot,
go after the communist Chinese. Yeah, and Tom, I remember that that previous caller that we just heard from. I remember when he called in and you said, "Well, I got the shot so that I can go now visit my neighbor without giving him COVID-19." And it's like, they adjusted the science on that one. Remember, even his scientist said, you know what? Yeah. You know how we told you that you should get the shot so that you don't give your friends and neighbors COVID-19? Well, actually, they'll still get it. And you'll still get it, potentially. So it's like, okay, so now if you felt it was such a risk, but now you're risking your neighbor's life because you thought that the jab would protect you and protect your neighbor. Anyway, like I say, no need to relitigate all that. Most Americans are all on board with the anti-tyrannical agenda of Donald J. Trump. That's why our protest back on November 5th was a lot bigger than their protest on June 14th. Let's see, who do we got next? Carl in Montana City. Carl, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Aaron, I love the show. Thank you. I'm learning a lot. There's a lot going on, but there are two promises that the Democrats made us a few months ago. One was a national ban on abortion, and the other was apparently a whole bunch of people would become slaves again. Now, I'm really sore. I did a whole lot of yard work yesterday. And I'm just kind of wondering, you know, where are my slaves at? I was hoping I'd have a few by now. What's going on with that?
Well, if you're a Democrat, they're called illegal aliens. That's who. Remember that there was the representative up in Vermont. She literally said, I'm trying to use the earmuffs kids language here. She said we need illegal aliens because who else is going to wipe our asses? She said. She literally said that at like a town hall meeting.
I heard it. That was brilliant.
I mean, first it was the wealthy, woke, white liberals in Big Sky were saying, well, who's going to shovel our snow? Why don't you get off your ass and shovel your own snow if you can't pay an American a decent paycheck in order to do it, right? And then it was, who's going to pick the lettuce? I mean, you had Jasmine Crockett basically endorse this concept. Well, who's going to pick our crops for us? It's like, my goodness, do you even hear what you're saying right now? The Democrats are basically saying that they need illegal aliens so they can have slave labor.
Well, don't forget that she and AOC think the food comes from a grocery store. never mind the farm.
That's right.
So, yeah, that's fun. Well, thank you. I really appreciate also the way you handle the hypocrisy and the discussions about it. You're doing a brilliant job. Thank you very much.
I don't know about that, but we got callers that pick up the slack. So thanks for calling in. Appreciate it. Let's see. Here we go. I caught up with Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke from the Western Congressional District earlier this morning. Because, yeah, like I said on Friday, hey, we have got to talk about the Flathead lake levels. Here's part of what Congressman Ryan Zinke had to say after he was able to get some very good news out of the Trump Interior Department.
I'm a son of a plumber, three generations, and it's really a matter of you have the Flathead lake, which is the bathtub, using that analogy. You have the faucet, which is Hungry Horse Dam, and that drainage system. And then you have the drain, which is the dam. And they've used different flow models, but a couple things. One is we need better technology, and technology is available. We know how much snowpack, we know how much moisture is in that basin. So we need to, on basis on that moisture and calculation, then you control the flow. It's really simple. You keep it full pool at June 15th, and you keep it full pool till September 15th. Of course, on the downside, you have the dam, and that's they use that for power, and they generate electricity and income. That's fair. On the upper side, you have Hungry Horse Dam and release. It's inexcusable, and I've heard this. Well, you know, the snow melts. We have all these things. No, it's inexcusable that you can't use science, best science, to keep the lake full. And there's different tensions. There's electricity. There's power generation. There's downstream interests, which are the fisheries and salmon folks downstream for minimum flows. There's upstream tension. If you wait too long, then you're going to blow the fish out on the upper part. So, guys, use better management. The Secretary of Interior, now Doug Burgum, requested that they close the flow off down to minimum, which the tribe is doing. Thank you very, very much. And open the dam up early so they can maintain flows. But it's a matter of just easy plumbing to keep that lake full, to make sure that people recreate and enjoy the summer and the Great Flathead Lake as we should. Keep it full pool from June 15th to 15th of September. Everyone's happy. It can be done. It should be done. And it must be done.
All right, there you go. And so, yeah, basically the news that came out later in the day Friday, and that's why I mentioned that we need to talk about this topic here on Monday, because, yeah, they were afraid that the Flathead Lake levels, given the low snowpack in northwest Montana, south central Montana had a lot of snow, a lot more moisture. Northeast Montana is dry, high and dry on the high line, and then, drier in northwest Montana as well. But thanks to an agreement, this is what Zinke shared Friday, between Interior Secretary Burgum and the CSKT, the dam will reduce flows by 45% and keep the lake within 12 inches of full pool, preventing that catastrophic prediction of 3 feet below full pool. So anyway, that's the new deal that came out. Hey, you guys have got to watch this trailer for The Real Yellowstone, a film that's coming out soon. It highlights the real ranchers of Montana and the battles they face to hold on to their land. Tom Opry is an outdoor filmmaker based in Montana's Flathead Valley. You got to check out this trailer. I think they're going to have a big premiere coming up in Bozeman very soon. Featured front and center is this battle with the APR to kick the ranchers off the land. Check it out, MontanaTalks.com. The trailer and more.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I want to try to sneak in a couple more phone calls, plus a little bit more of what Congressman Zinke had to say. This new agreement to boost the lake levels at Flathead Lake. But one thing that Zinke said was dams are more than just power. Well, some of you, maybe you want more than just power in your energy drink. Maybe you want power plus pain aid. You want the pain-relieving vitamins and a little power, a little energy drink with pain-relieving vitamins. Well, that's exactly what our friend Lee Ettinger, a Marine Corps veteran in Big Fork, Montana, that's exactly what he created. It's called Power Plus Pain Aid. It's like a small energy drink that also has the natural pain-relieving vitamins. So especially, you get out, you work hard, you play hard. We live in Montana, so we do both. We work hard, we play hard. That's going to have its aches and its pains. This will help on both fronts, give you the energy for the workout or the playtime out in the mountains, but then also give you the pain-relieving vitamins. You can get 15% off right now. Go to drinkpowerplus.com and use the code FLINT15 at checkout. drinkpowerplus.com, use the code FLINT15 at checkout. All right, here you go. Back to it, Congressman Ryan Zinke, talking about this new agreement that he got signed off on by Interior Secretary Doug Burgum to boost the Flathead Lake levels.
And dams are more than power. Dams are flood mitigation, they're transportation. But when you bring it down below pool, a lot of people's docks, and there's a lot of businesses that count on the summer for their primary income. And, there's a lot of obstacles out there in the lake when it gets too low. You're used to, scooting along the lake, no problem, but all of a sudden you got rocks and stuff that show up. It's a danger. So, again, it's a plumbing problem. I am grateful for the tribe to recognize it and bring it down to minimum. Thank you, Doug Burgum, the Interior Secretary. And now it's increased flows up at the Hungry Horse Reservoir. And they're down, a little, but in my lifetime I've seen them down 100 feet. So there's plenty of water in there. But, again, let's use best science and get ahead of the curve every year. We know how much snowpack was. It was around 80% this year. It wasn't the best. It wasn't the worst by far. Hopefully we'll get some rain in there and everyone's happy. But, you know, in the summer, a lot of the businesses, that's where they make their money in the summer. They get a lot of investment in there for the marinas, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, people like fishing, you know, both on the upper and lower flathead, and they like floating. And look, there's plenty of water if we manage it. And it's about managing resources, you know, no different than managing a forest. You know, we don't like these catastrophic fires because it's a lack of managing our forests.
All right. And full conversation. There's lots more where that came from. We talked about the weekend protests and more. Check it out on the Montana Talks podcast. All right. Let's go to Barney in Boyd. Barney, thanks for the call. What's on your mind this morning?
Thank you, but it's Arnie.
Arnie, that's right. I recognize the voice. Okay. All right. Arnie, good to hear from you. Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't called you for a while. But anyway, I was just calling about the F-bomb all over. You know, it's just more of the morals of America going down because it's just like common conversation all over. Everybody just says it, and everybody just sits there and don't pay no attention. Little girls around, little boys, whatever. I've been in the convenience store, and they'll get up there and just go at it. They don't care because it's just a way of softening it. It's just making it like it's a normal conversation with the older cousin. And don't get me wrong, I get caught up once in a while, too, but I try never to do it around women or little girls, and even when I'm out anywhere, I don't want to do it. But you know how we're all sinners, and it happens.
That's right. Yeah, it is. That is a cultural change in America where people don't watch their language, especially around kids anymore, right? When we talk about the F Trump, F MAGA, you know, plastered across the windshields. But then even on our side, you'd see people with the F Biden in the back of their pickup windows as well. But it's definitely much more on display. I mean, just across the board in big numbers at these far left protests. But yeah, it's just a cultural thing where people don't watch their language around kids anymore at all. Great point. Arnie, great to hear from you. Let's go to Mike in Bozeman. Mike, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
I'm assuming that Ken Great Falls is a good, solid American taxpayer, and I wanted to send him appreciation and gratitude for being such, for his support to the Veterans Administration, because after I got the jab in the fall of 21, 4 months later in February of 22, I had an aortic aneurysm that I thought was a heart attack, and if it hadn't been for his support for the life flight of me getting helicoptered down to the Billings, I'd have been died from that. And plus, the life flight that I got after I got back from Billings, and my daughter, bless her, realized that something was going wrong and got me to the emergency room again here in Bozeman. And 10 o'clock that morning, I'm life flighted citation-wise to University of Washington for an overhaul on my upper my heart and a new heart valve.
So you got the aorta. So you got the Rona shot, and then all those heart problems started happening.
And then a month and a half later, I go in and have my lower aorta overhauled, all at the deeply appreciated expense of the American taxpayer supporting the VA.
Wow. And so you had the COVID shot, and like so many others, started having heart problems. By the way, did you hear this, Mike? Sorry, we're short on time. So the ICE protesters down in L.A., they were blocking a VA facility. Over 600 veterans' health care appointments now have to be rescheduled because those left-wing protesters denied them health care. But they're all for the Eagles.
Veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.